Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 30th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Yes. 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 Mute buttons are a dangerous weapon, Kelly.
Yes, but they do aid in making a dramatic entrance.
Yes, they do. Yes. And it's all about me.
It is.
Yes.
John, don't tell us. So I wanted to talk to the two of you today, first of all, about some interesting stuff that we've seen recently with regards to AI and sort of machine learning and creativity. So the first one, the thing that kicked off the conversation, I think, was seeing the metal channel, the like death metal channel that was all like AI created music.
Yeah. And wasn't it actually more like AI used snippets?
I think so.
Like, I don't think that the AI was actually like putting new notes together, but instead was chopping up existing stuff and making creative stuff with it. That was my understanding.
Yeah, a neural network is fed audio snippets, and then it's this live stream that you can go listen to machine-made death metal. I think it's how to put that.
One of the interesting topics in that realm is that if an AI listens to one artist exclusively and then creates music that sounds an awful lot like that artist, copyright issues arise. And it's hard to prove that the AI was trained on a particular artist. So if you're trying to create general music, you might have the AI listen to a whole family of music from different artists, mm-hmm. and then it kind of comes up with something that reflects the genre. But if you specifically focus on one artist, as humans sometimes do, and then mimic their work and then try to pass it off as something related, mm-hmm. that's a copyright issue. But when the AI does it, you have no history. You have no way to dissect the neural network and figure out what it was trained on. And so it's really hard to prove that an AI was focused on a particular band or artist. So that's one of the sticky issues that comes up.
Yeah. And it is that I haven't really hadn't been thinking about that, because especially with this particular channel, if he is using look at that. Wow. I personified this neural network. Goodness. That's weird. So anyway, this particular neural network, if it was using snippets that were sliced out of existing songs, there were artists in the 90s, a lot of electronic artists who were running afoul of existing copyright laws. They were creating entirely new works from you know, like fractions of a second of songs that they were mm-hmm. piecing together in these new ways. It's actually, to me, it was the very definition of making a new creation, which copyright law is actually supposed to allow, and they were running afoul of copyright laws instead. right. That is something that could be an issue here, maybe.
Another issue is whether the source material artist is entitled to any royalties because their work was used to develop the new music. And so far, copyright law says no. It's the AI stuff is still considered original works of art.
That's interesting. I think a more interesting aspect of this, John, is simply the effect that machine creations are going to have on the world of human created art, or the world of art. Art of all kinds. Like, you know, not just this death metal channel, but you know, computer created poetry, computer created books, computer created screenplays. How about looking maybe further out, computer created, machine learning created, animated films?
Well, we do that when a good author reads a lot and steals from other people that they admire. And so by scanning or absorbing the body of literature of that area, the artist comes up with new works that are derivative from all the experience that they had in that area, whether it's art or music or literature. AIs do the same thing. The one question I have is, Brian, you write a song and you publish it and I buy the song. Do I have the rights to train my AI on your song?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know that any of that
to this is a lot less interesting to me than.
Yeah, and I don't know that any of that comes into play until you try to make money off it. Like, if you're building an AI and you want to see how to do it for fun, and you're just sort of messing around with it, and you feed it a bunch of Brian songs, and you have this AI machine learned creation of that comes out of only feeding it Brian songs. You doing that is an interesting exercise. It's, you know, like almost academic. And I don't know that it matters until you try to start making money off it.
No, no. Hold on a second, though. What about when the machine learning creators, the neural network creators, turn around and try to sell that neural network?
You may have a license agreement with your music that says it cannot be used to train an AI and create a derivative work, but you
can't. Right. No one's got that license. No,
and we thought terms of service were complicated now.
Yeah.
But you can't prove it, because I can claim that my AI is proprietary and trade secrets. And after the fact, after it creates the music, all the history of what it learned could be gone, or could be. So it's hard to prove.
Indeed. So again, that's the least interesting aspect of this to me. The most interesting aspect is, at what point are computers creating with human beings? Will, you know, are human artists endangered?
Well, the AI uses the same technique as humans do, and it's questionable whether the AI can create anything that's superior that the human mind can do. I mean, if Robert Parker grew up reading the works of all the great writers of the past and he creates great work, and an AI is trained to do the same kind of thing, who is to say that the AI's writing is any superior? It could be like saying, you know, is Roger Zelazny superior to Harlan Ellison in science fiction world?
That's probably a question that is more suited to the, you know, very near future. But what, you know, what about as efforts in this area are increased and AIs get better, or neural networks get better at doing this?
Better at sounding like humans, but not better at being superior to humans.
Says who? Says how?
Well, it's not clear that you can prove that there's a process by which you can train an AI to be somehow substantive better than the best humans.
Yeah, that's today. That's today.
Relatively, these are new. Like, what happens when they're not new?
Well, what you're saying is that there, a whole breed of AIs start generating music and literature that's so much better than humans that we forsake the best works of humans. And that means that the AI has to be in touch with and has to be sensitive to all the issues of growing up human. And whether that can be instilled in an AI is doubtful in most minds, from what I've read.
You don't think your people are capable of doing this?
I think in order to express human feelings and emotions, you have to be human.
You're just gonna accept that? You're just gonna let that roll over you and just sort of,
it's like teachers in the classroom. I had a guest, Susan Bearden, on Background Mode, and she said robots aren't gonna replace teachers in the classroom wide scale, because the purpose of the teacher in the classroom is to teach the kids how to be effective members of society, and only another human being who grew up in society can teach another human how to live in society. And a robot may not be able to do that because a robot didn't grow up as a human.
Yeah, maybe, I suppose. I firmly expect teacher bots. Like right now, I know of an educator in the ed tech space who got involved in a Twitter conversation where teachers were discussing the merits or lack of merits of having an Alexa or Google Home device in the classroom. And firstly, for the record, I can't imagine a worse idea than putting surveillance capitalism into a classroom. I think that that's an abomination, and anyone who does it should be strung up by their ears. Secondly, the mere idea. But here's the reason why they were thinking that it might be good is so that, like, when the teacher was busy, a student could ask these surveillance capitalist devices questions and get answers. Speaking of surveillance capitalism, shut up, Siri. That is, I think, probably a way in which robots and computers will make their way into the classroom as being a sort of dictionary or a
teacher's aid
or an encyclopedia. And that's how they're going to back into these devices, into our classrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the purpose of a robot is not just to answer questions. The purpose of the robot is to understand the needs of the student and react in a way that helps.
You mean the teacher?
Yeah, the teacher. So when the students are having difficulty, I mean, if it's one thing to say, "Hey, teacher, remind me what the speed of light is," it's another thing to ask the teacher, "Show me how to program this Python app to solve this equation." So,
but generally, well, okay, maybe it's because I didn't have Python programming classes or anything like that. But the kind of stuff I wanted to know was more contextual. Generally, the kind of questions I asked was like, why would that person make that decision? Why was this country in this situation in the first place that, you know, gave them beef with the other one? And you know, the kind of stuff that's more.
Why did Teddy Roosevelt want to become president of the United States?
Right. Like, what made that a good idea?
So who has enough knowledge of history and human nature?
There are none today.
Right.
Well, you're just assuming that there'll be exponential perfection of robots in the future.
Correct. It's a good assumption.
Yeah.
Or society will collapse. I mean, that's also a good assumption, but civilization will collapse, I suppose.
Or we'll be treading water.
Or we'll be treading. Yeah, some people will be treading water for sure. But the absent. Yeah, to your point, John, it is very conceivable that those who look at the potential for AI have a sort of sci-fi wishful thinking kind of thing going on. It's certainly possible that that's the case for me, but I do anticipate continued and essentially perpetual growth in these areas. And
well, that is strongly related to the next subject, that if we can get to it, and that is what makes an AI and a robot human.
Before we get there, though, I think that there will eventually be AI art and AI of all kinds, music, books, art, actual, you know, paintings.
Isn't part of the love for the work, the adoration of the personality itself? I mean, when you go to a concert, you could just listen to a concert on your iPhone. But being there in person and seeing the person on stage and meeting them backstage and getting their autograph and having coffee with them is part of the adoration of the.
You so clearly have no idea how concerts work.
I'm just giving an example.
Yeah, good day, mate. Yeah, come on in. Yeah, we're having some coffee right here.
Well, you know, if you're high enough on the On the latter, you may get invited backstage.
Oh, on the latter. Okay.
What I'm saying is the abstract appreciation for the art can't be separated from the connection to the human being who created it.
I don't think
showing up at the Barnes & Noble on Saturday, come and meet the AI, and you walk in and there's a gray box there. You know, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, but that would work if the AI could answer questions.
If the AI were a Westworld robot in human form,
I'm not so sure about that. And just for the record, the live music versus music on your iPhone scenario is not just about the people. That's absolutely about the sound experience at a concert. So,
well, you can conceive of a great sound system at home. You know, suppose you have a great surround sound system in your house where you can produce the equivalent of a concert hall, you know, through exponentially perfect technology.
Well, that exists. And it's still not the same thing as a concert. I don't think
it's because you're
relating to a human being. I mean, you know, young people fall in love with the artist's image and their actions and their movements and their personality. And AIs will have to come to duplicate that. You just can't have a supercomputer in the basement producing art that people love because there's no human connection to it.
I predict, John, though, that we will go through a phase where AIs are creating art that is judged separately because it was created by an AI, and that eventually there will probably be AI versus humans sort of in terms of in terms of competing for attention. And that we'll go through a phase where it'll be believed that, you know, that humans shouldn't even bother. I think we're going to see several years of evolution on AI created art, and that what it'll eventually come down to is that humans will find a way to continue to be able to differentiate themselves from AIs in a way that keeps human art relevant.
Yeah, I foresee a science fiction fly in the ointment there. I perceive a future in which robots start taking jobs and roving gangs of renegades attack robots and dice them up and cut them up with torches and throw them in dumpsters. And there'll be an anti-robot.
And then the corporate surveillance state will swoop down and with a license to kill all the humans who were damaging robot property.
People commit crimes. People continue to commit crimes, even though they have a vague notion they might get caught, continue to do it.
Of course, now I'm seeing robots walking down the street, you know.
When you're a bot all the way.
Exactly. Pow, bang, zap! next question.
First power up to your obsolete day. Okay, now I have to go write robot side story. I'll be back. I have to say I come down with Brian on this one in that there are many human artists who make music today and artwork and books and comics and all kinds of things today. And there are some that something about what they do resonates with me. And so I will get whatever they put out, whatever that may be. And that's not the case with a lot of them. Like, I will listen and find new things and stuff that I enjoy, but there's a very small list of those that I actively seek out. And so, and part of that is the human connection I have with that music or that particular artist. Like, I'm very interested in the stuff that you're doing, so I'm going to pay more attention to it. So I come down with Brian on the side of that, but because I think that's an interesting idea. That there could be like AI stuff. Now, that said, I wouldn't be opposed to I don't spend a lot of time listening to death metal anyway, so I don't think I'm going to listen to the death metal made by machines. But I like electronic music, and if you were to just let the machines that everybody's been bossing around all these years to make electronic music make their own electronic music, that might be interesting to hear. And like as a background to things, maybe I would put that on and listen to it.
Yeah, I would think the machines would be very, very much better than humans at deliberately evoking and stroking and invoking emotions.
Okay.
So I could definitely see AI created soundtracks for movies.
Mm-hmm. This part is happy. This part is sad.
Yep.
Et cetera. I see. No,
not soon. Not nope. Anytime soon. But, you know, and you can imagine the desirability of the studios to be able to just, you know, farm this out to a machine instead of a human.
Mm-hmm. That might be interesting. I can see that.
Next.
Now I'm going to think about that. I wonder. Okay. I think that's going to do it. So, Brian, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh my God. Is it the whole show?
Yeah.
21 minutes.
It is indeed.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. No, wait, I'm glad to be here. I probably need the mute button again.
I think you need a firmware upgrade.
Yeah.
Something. I was happy to be here too.
Thank you, John, Friendly Neighborhood Robot, for making sure that you had all the right words at the end of the show.
Yes.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. If you are interested in AI, if you've been listening to that death metal channel that we had the link to earlier, if you are interested in finding out what art looks like when we let machines make it, let us know. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can also find us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I have been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.